Welcome to the latest episode of the KPL Podcast. I'm your host, Jagisha. Today, I'm thrilled to discuss a locked room mystery set on a cruise ship heading to Havana, Cuba. The Cuban Harris by Chanel Clayton. In 1934, a luxury cruise becomes a fight for survival as two women's pasts collide on a round-trip voyage from New York to Havana. The novel is inspired by the true story of the SS Morro Castle. Let's talk to Chanel to learn more. Welcome to the podcast, Chanel.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
So tell us about the Cuban Harris. What is the book about?
So the book is set in 1934, and it was inspired by the true story of a luxury cruise liner known as the SS Morro Castle. And it was a ship that would sail on a round-trip voyage from New York to Havana. And on its last voyage, it caught fire on the way back from Havana. And unfortunately, it was a great tragedy. And so I was really inspired by kind of looking at this moment in history. There's obviously the Great Depression that's going around. You have the Cuban Revolution of 1933 that has just ended, and also the recent end of Prohibition. And so as a Cuban American, it was really fascinating for me to look at what was kind of a lesser known moment in history for me and imagine what my fictional characters' lives would have been like on this ship.
Yeah, so this is a real ship. So what drew you to write about this particular ship? Just that it was going from Havana to New York?
So when I was researching the novel I wrote previous to this one, Our Last Days in Barcelona, it was set in the 1930s. And I often like to kind of look at what other events were going around at that time period that might have had an impact on my characters' lives. And I came across this mention of the SS Morro Castle. And it was something that I was previously unfamiliar with. And there was so much kind of natural mystery surrounding the ship. So to this day, the fire's origins are kind of unsettled, and there's a bit of a question mark. You know, there are certainly prevailing theories, and there have been investigations as to what happened to lead to the fire. But I was so drawn in by kind of the natural mystery and how much, you know, you had this kind of rich intersection of political, economical, and social events that were happening at the time. I've written quite a bit about the 1930s with Cuba and the U.S., and so this one really spoke to me. And once I had that idea, you know, I knew it was something I wanted to pursue further and to learn more about.
To me, anytime there's a mystery, like a real life mystery where they just don't know what happened is always fascinating. And I love that when authors incorporate that into their novels. Mm-hmm. So now there's two main characters. You have Catherine and Elena. So could you talk a little bit more about your two characters?
So Elena is a Cuban character, and she boards the ship, and the reader kind of starts the book off with the two heroines boarding the ship. So you kind of take the whole voyage with them, which I really kind of enjoyed writing and being able to explore the actual timeline of what it would have been like to follow the itinerary of the ship. But Elena comes on with a lot of secrets. She has kind of a difficult backstory. She's been through quite a bit in her life, and she's very determined. And I have to be careful always when I talk about the book to not give too many spoilers away, but she's on the ship for a very specific purpose. And so you kind of watch that unravel as she goes about the journey, and also see her set out to fulfill her goals. And then Catherine is an American heiress who's on the ship. And I always kind of put heiress in air quotes because she too has quite a bit of secrets in her backstory. And you learn very quickly when you meet her that she is definitely not who she says she is. And you get to kind of see her life intersect with that of Elena as they both search for the revenge that they're looking for. And also, as obviously we know, that there's kind of this ticking clock of the fire looming in the future.
Mm-hmm. So who do you connect with more? Do you have a favorite between the two?
So I really enjoyed writing both characters. You know, Catherine came to me immediately, as did Elena, and my character sort of talked to me very loudly in my head and often steered the direction of the story. But then I will admit, Elena went silent for a little bit. And so that was kind of interesting in the writing process to really delve into who she was and what her motivations were. And she truly became kind of the heart of the story for me. But she definitely made me work for it a little bit to kind of understand what was going to propel her storyline forward and, you know, to look at the intersections between the two and how they would play off of each other. So they both have very special places in my heart for different reasons. Some of Catherine's scenes were a little bit lighter, and kind of I got to explore a little bit of romance and back and forth with one of the ship's passengers, which I really enjoyed. And then Elena, I feel like I had a lot of emotional resonance with some of her struggles and the things she kind of is going through when she's on the ship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and actually, my next question, speaking of romances, that you do tie romantic storylines into your novels. So tell us a little bit about the romantic relationship.
So before I wrote historical fiction, I wrote romance. So I always love kind of incorporating love stories into my historical fiction. I think that intersection between the personal and the political is one of the beautiful things I like to explore. You know, what ordinary people's lives were like when they were impacted by these extraordinary events. And so having these characters on the ship with, you know, very clearly defined aims, they interact with the other passengers. And for Catherine, one of the passengers she sort of kind of butts heads with and rubs up against is a man who's there for kind of nefarious purposes himself. His name is Harry, and he's a jewel thief on board the ship. And I really enjoyed sort of writing the banter between them and getting to flesh out the dialogue. And they kind of have an ongoing bit between them that I really had a lot of fun with. And then Elena also meets a Cuban man who is involved in some of the political efforts in Cuba at the time. His name is Julio. And the thing about the SS Morro Castle, this real ship, was that there was smuggling going on in the ship. You know, arms were being smuggled to Cuba, people were being smuggled out of Cuba. So you see a bit of that perspective and storyline through some of Julio's actions and motivations and how Elena becomes involved with him.
Yeah, and I will have to say I really did enjoy the banter between Harry and Catherine and just the back and forth and all the little things that Harry does, which I won't give away, but
Aw,
he's
thank
a fun
you.
character, and every time he's on stage, I'm like, oh yay, Harry's on stage.
Oh, thank you. I had a lot of fun writing him. He really, my characters, you know, I'm kind of a pantser. I don't plot a ton when I start my books, and my characters really tend to show me the way. And he was a character that I didn't intend to be as big as he was, but he just had such a big personality so that when he kind of came on the page, I was like, oh, I want to follow this because it was so much fun kind of seeing his interactions and his wit and putting that in the book.
Definitely. The Cuban Harris is a historical novel, but it's also a mystery. So, what aspects of writing a mystery did you find the most fun and most challenging?
I really enjoyed being able to do that. I am a huge suspense reader, kind of a lifelong fan of mysteries. And so, with each book I've written with my historical fiction, I've really enjoyed putting little elements of suspense. I think that often is what keeps readers, you know, turning the pages and staying up late at night with the story. And so this was a chance for me to really expand upon that and do it in a larger way. And I think so much of the ship setting, you know, you kind of had the sense of like a locked room mystery, because you are on this confined space and the characters are really driven by their interactions and the fact that they are trapped at sea, you know, for much of the voyage while the ship is at sea on the way to the port in Havana and then on the way back. And that definitely dictated their movements and their interactions with each other. So that part was a lot of fun to write and also a challenge. You know, I think as a writer, that kind of ongoing adventure and creative dialogue of trying new things is something that I enjoy when I sit down at my computer every day. And so it was very nice to explore something new in my creative process, and also hopefully to give something new to my readers who have been reading the historical fiction books that I've written to feel like they had an element of surprise here and got to see a different side of my novels.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I really enjoyed the mystery part of it. There was, you know, I'm so the little surprises that came as I'm going along the chapters and I, yeah, especially having a book set on a ship, I think it's just so much fun because there's so many, it's like you're confined, but there's so many different things that you can do there too.
Absolutely.
So tell us more about your research process. Do you have any tips or tricks that you're using? And what's your favorite part of that process?
So I love the research process. It really informs the plot of my books quite a bit. And particularly on a book like this, you know, I had written a similar book in The Last Train to Key West where it was set on a very short timeline. That book was set over a weekend. This is set on a week-long voyage, and you know you have this historical event that's going to come in and change the characters' lives. And so really the plot was dictated by the historical record and where characters would be, you know, what day the ship took port in Havana or when the fire broke out and how that would affect their physical movements. And so using that itinerary as sort of a benchmark was very helpful for me to understand how my characters would be impacted. As with The Last Train to Key West, with the Cuban Heiress, you had investigations into both of those events. So with The Last Train to Key West, I wrote about the Labor Day hurricane. And with this one, it's about the fire on the SS Morro Castle. And so there were a lot of investigations trying to understand what went wrong, you know, how safety standards could be improved going forward. And so you have a lot of first person accounts and a lot of information that came out of that into the historical record, which was incredibly helpful to get a sense of, you know, what the experience would have been like for the characters. It was very important to me to fictionalize the characters just because I didn't want to write someone else's story with real people living through these events. Mm-hmm. But I always want to make sure with my fictional characters that their experiences are authentic to the event that happened, and that their movements and that sort of thing is absolutely historically possible for, you know, what their experiences would have been trying to get off the ship and that sort of thing.
Yeah, definitely. Now, do you ever find diaries and or anything like that in your research?
So I have used kind of memoir and diaries before. With this particular book, I did not. There were lots of interviews that I was able to read. There have been some nonfiction books written on the subject. So there was that element of it. And then also having written a few books now set in the 1930s, that was incredibly helpful to kind of be able to draw from research I did with other books, just in terms of kind of understanding what my characters' lives would have been like with the Great Depression and with the revolution in Cuba that had just occurred in 1933.
Yeah, and was the Great Depression, did that affect Cuba as much as it was in the U.S.?
It absolutely did. So there were kind of global ramifications, you know, mm-hmm. from the Great Depression. And you see some of the political instability that happened in Cuba around that time being driven by economic concerns. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things, you know, as a Cuban American, I find really fascinating is looking at all those intersections between Cuban and American history. And, you know, going back when I wrote The Most Beautiful Girl in Cuba, which is set earlier in Cuban American history, I mean, you really see how much the two countries' fates have kind of been intertwined, you know, throughout the centuries. And seeing that play out, I think, is really an interesting, you know, political thing to examine.
Mm-hmm. Now, are there moments in Cuban history that you hope to explore in future books?
Definitely. I mean, I feel like I'm constantly learning about new things, and it's always so illuminating to kind of, I feel like it's almost like I'm building a puzzle of trying to understand, or a tapestry perhaps of trying to mm-hmm. understand kind of my Cuban heritage and getting pieces that I didn't have before that kind of helped me to think about what my ancestors' lives might've been like in that moment and how they might've been affected by these things. So it's very fascinating for me, and I'm constantly, you know, uncovering new things that draw me to want to know more.
Yeah. And I think it's fascinating, and it's good to get more of the history because, you know, as in America, it tends to be a little bit centered toward America, and we don't get as mm-hmm. much of the outside world in terms of the teachings and historical information. Mm-hmm. So I think it's nice that that authors are writing these books. So last question is, what's next? Is there another book on the horizon already?
So I am currently editing what will be my 2024 release, and it is a dual timeline novel. There's a Cuban heroine and an American heroine, and it's set in Miami at a fictional Gothic mansion. And it's kind of set during the time period where really we're starting to see a lot of development in Miami, people moving down and building these grand mansions. And there's a mystery that really goes through the two storylines with the two women. So kind of a similar suspense element to the Cuban heiress, but I've had so much fun writing about it. I'm originally from Florida, so learning more about Florida history is always really fascinating to me. It's another one of my passions. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited to share this one with my readers next year.
Oh, yeah, it sounds good. And I like that you added the mystery element to it, too. So
thank you. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for your time. I know I only had about 15 minutes, so thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. This is wonderful.
And that's a wrap on our discussion of The Cuban Heiress by Chanel Cleeton. I hoped you enjoyed our diving into the world of luxury cruise liners and Catherine and Elena's journey. Don't forget to pick up a copy of the book right here at the Kirkwood Public Library. Join us next week as we dive into The One by Julia Argy and continue our love of great literature. Thanks for listening to the KPL podcast, and until next time, happy reading.